You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Frida Liu, and this is Aiming for Alpha on BFM 89.9. We're talking about the soft side of leadership, and I'm speaking to Eric Lau, the Vice President for Leadership Development with Leadernomics. It's often said that people are the organization's biggest asset, yet many organizations are unable to retain their talents. Why?
Well, thank you, Frida, for having me here. One of the interesting facts about people leaving organizations is this, and some of them leave because, you know, they've got a they see a better job out there, they find that they have better prospects, they get headhunted, and there are good reasons for people leaving. But it was interesting because a Gallup poll of 1 million people was conducted recently, and the question asked was basically, why do you leave your organization? And a great majority of people said that they left their organization simply because they had bad bosses, or they had immediate supervisors or line managers that they couldn't get along with, and that's why they left their organizations. And that's pretty interesting. I mean, look at our own experience and all that. I can tell you from my personal experience that, I work with a couple of organizations, and at least two or three of them, I left simply because I really could not get along and could not flow along with my immediate boss or supervisor. And that's tough. And that's the reason why many people tend to leave their organization. It's simply because they just cannot get along with their bosses.
Okay, so people can't get along with their bosses. At the same time, don't they say, well, take the heat, or, you know, leave the kitchen? You know, do people say that? Because they tend to believe the line managers or the immediate supervisors more than the employees. I mean, that's one of the things that always gets clouded in, you know what I mean? So how do you address that as well?
It's true. I mean, the fact is that, you know, when you ask people, why do you leave? You know, a lot of people love the organizations. They believe in the products. They believe in organizations. But it just gets a bit too difficult to work in certain contexts or situations where it's tough to relate to, especially your line manager and all that. And in fact, a couple of months back, I was talking to a friend of mine, and she relocated all the way from Penang just to work in this particular multinational organization. And after working just about 3 weeks there, and she went to the boss and said, this is a different area of engineering altogether. I'm not familiar. You know, can you please help me and give me some guidance on what I can do and how should I go about this project? And the boss said to her and said, basically they said that, you know, things do not fall on your lap automatically. Think over it yourself, get it done by yourself. And he basically refused to provide any form of guidance. And I understand that, as leaders, there is that bit of us where we need to coach and mentor and not to spoon feed the people working under us. But I what I heard really broke my heart, as in, you have one leader that is totally interested to guide or to lead. And as expected, she left the organization actually in less than 4 months. She left the organization. And we're talking about a multinational organization. And she felt so hopeless and lost simply because of the support that she wasn't getting from her boss.
Okay. And of course, we've also heard of statements like, well, couldn't you learn to manage your boss? And it's always, the coin is always flipped on the other side. And we never hear the other side as well. So, with all these people that a good talent and they leave, don't they normally end up being business owners in the end?
Yes, they do. Some of them do. And some of them are more entrepreneurial in their approach, and they are, they like doing their own business. And sometimes I suppose it helps when they go through situations like that. They'll say, okay, I'm going to do something new. But of course, it's easier said than done. Usually they are a bit more mature in their experience, then they start something new. But most often than not, then they just leave to the next job, and then to the next job, just looking for something that is fresh, an environment that we can be friendly with, that they can be happy and find significance in their work.
Yeah, so why do leaders behave this way? Why do bad bosses behave the way they do?
Well, quite a number of reasons, I suppose. One key reason on top of my mind is a sense of insecurity from some bosses. And some bosses lack the kind of competency themselves. And therefore, when they're asked to provide certain guidance or to cast certain vision or to help in a certain way, they're actually unable to. They don't actually have the answers. And therefore, they need to be a bit tough and say, you figure it out yourself. And, you do it yourself. And they are insecure. And the fact is that when a leader is insecure, he or she tends to be a bit more aggressive in terms of their leadership style, because they know that they can't provide the answer. So it's kind of like a face that they put on.
It's a mask. It's a wall. It's sort of some protective gear.
Yeah, that's right. So to protect themselves in that sense, And attitude is another one, attitude of how we relate to people. And reality is some bosses just simply do not care. All they are interested in is to get the job done, and they are not sensitive enough to the people that they lead. They are not sensitive enough to the development of the people that they work with. They are not sensitive enough to their stress levels. And the reality is some bosses are just plain bullies. I call them bullies. It's just that they push and shove people around, not realizing that at the end of the day, this kind of leadership does not cut anymore. And people don't like us. They know that they're not learning from us. You know, they leave. The command and control era of leadership is gone. It's really about pulling people along, getting people alongside with us, supporting us, working together to achieve organizational goals.
All right. And what do you say to leaders who say, well, I'm not here to be nice. All I want to do is get results?
Well, getting results is ultimately the goal of the leader. At the end of the day, it's about results. At the end of the day, it's about bottom line. It's about profits. That's true for any organization. So that's true. So that's a noble motive. You say that at the end of the day, it's really about profits. It's about results. That's true. But the key question, I suppose, that we need to ask leaders is, how do you get there? Because the process to get there is as important as just getting there. And I think one key question to ask is, how are we looking to the organization? Are we short-term or are we long-term focused? So the reality is, if we are aggressive in our leadership and we demand and we force people to do things they don't like to do, and we are abrasive in our words and we are rude and we force them, the reality is it will get done. The job will get done, but just in the short term. People will unwillingly cooperate with us. They will force themselves to do the things that you ask them to do. And results usually are mediocre, or they just, you know, you want five, they give you five. They will not go over the board to really work hard at achieving better things for the organization.
All right. And so what are some of the methods that we can actually help, you know, to move people along that process?
Well, and in his book, Good to Great by Jim Collins, you know, a phenomenal book, talks about leadership and how to move organization forward. And Jim Collins researched about 1,400 organizations, and out of those organizations, he picked 11 that had actually sustained growth for at least 15 years. And that's a real feat for any organization. 11 years, 15 years of continual growth. I mean, even companies like Coca-Cola or Pepsi that, you know, that had 1 year up or 1 year down didn't count. No, these are organizations that really grew consistently for 15 years. So he chose these organizations, 11 of them, and he began to research why these organizations were as successful as they were and how they propelled themselves, not just from being good, but from being good to being great. And of course, in his book, he expounds on a couple number of principles like the HR concept and like technology. But one of the chapters talk about the leader that really led this group of companies and how they were effective in their leadership. And he calls this the level 5 leader. And he talks about them. He said level 1 is a leader, he says, who is a highly capable individual. And that's good. That's someone who is productive. He contributes. He's got great talent. Level 2 is a contributing team member. This is one who not only is talented him or herself, but is able to work together in teams. And then level 3 is a competent manager. This is a person that can manage and organize people. And level 4 is an effective leader, where this person can vigorously pursue clear goals, can paint a vision, and can push people to high performance. Then he talks about a level 5 leader. And this, the level 5 leader is a leader that has a very unique characteristic. It basically has a combination of what he calls personal humility and professional will. And I thought that's phenomenal, because these are opposites. How can you be humble at one end and the other hand be very persistent and professional will? And he said that these are the very leaders that actually led these organizations to their success.
And it's interesting, okay, based on this research, 11 companies and over 15 years, and the most effective one had personal humility and professional will.
That's right.
Personal humility, that's a good one for me. I'm speaking to Eric Lau from Leaderonomics in our Aiming for Alpha segment on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Back, we're talking about the soft side of leadership in our Aiming for Alpha segment on BFM 89.9, and speaking to Eric Lau from Leadernomics. And also with that, you know, sometimes how do leaders build this soft side of leadership? How can you change someone?
It all starts with what the leader believes in the leader's core values. I mean, take, for example, what Jim Collins talked about, personal humility and professional will. I mean, that's a paradox. It's like you're being strong on one side as a leader. At the same time, while you're being strong, you are sensitive as a leader. I mean, take myself, for example. I have two kids, 7 and 6. And one of the things that I would like to work with Hannah and Jordan is to be a great father. I realized that I need to have the soft side where I'm the lovey-dovey dad. I play with them, I have fun with them. You know, they are my best friends. I'm their best friends. And the other side, I'm the real authoritarian at home. I say, eat your vegetables. I say, time to go to bed. Sleep, you sleep. So, am I being a hypocrite? No. It's just that I realize that to be a great father, I need to have this balance of both the soft side, the sensitive side, as well as the strong side of leadership. And the same, I believe that applies very much to the corporate side, where we need to have this side of us where we are sensitive to other people, where we genuinely care for the people whom we lead. We care for their personal development. We care for their personal growth. At the same time, we exercise very strong leadership in terms of executing, getting done things done. No monkey business around. It's business. It's profits. We got to deliver the goods. So this balance is very important. I think that's one of the challenges that leaders really need to have, which is the balance of being very strong in their leadership, at the same time being very sensitive in developing the people that work with them.
All right. So how can you include this in the work culture? What can you do to put this in the work culture?
It all starts with having core values. What are your core values as a leader? What do you believe in? If it's just delivering results end of the day, and if it's just short term, the push and shove thing method works. But if you're truly interested to build an organization or team that is strong, that is long-term focused, that people won't leave us, they actually wake up in the morning and look forward to actually come to work and deliver the goods, then it's really about building a culture that supports that. It's having a culture where people feel empowered, they feel appreciated, they feel that the bosses is not just interested in delivering the goods, but also personally interested in their own development, their own training. And it's about core values, having that ability to be able to care and also to look into the needs of the people that they work with.
Okay, how do you build this into the KPI? How do you build this into a KPI of a leader?
Yeah, that's a great question, because when it comes to KPI, you know, we've got sales results, or you've got to get this done by when. One of the KPIs that I think officially has to be in every leader's books is KPI of actually building leaders. If you realize that as leaders, not only do we just hit the bottom line and all that stuff, but one key thing is that my KPI is that how do I build the people that work with me? How do I make sure that David gets promoted by next year? How do I make sure that Sarah goes for the training so that she can be competent in that particular area of presentation skills? So one of my KPIs as a leader is to make sure that the people that work with me develop certain skills and ability. And I think that is something that is often overlooked by organizations, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's about just
the results
and all that. They forget that, although they know, they say that people are the biggest assets, but they don't really invest time, resources and energy into developing the people so that in the long run, the organizations become strong because the people are being built up to achieve those results.
What about the level of attrition, the percentage of attrition? Is that also a good KPI to include? If too many people are leaving, you know, in your department, that's also a sign that you're not so good a leader.
Absolutely. I think that's true. I mean, I was working for an organization where a new person came in to lead your organization. And then over the next couple of months, one by one, you see people leaving, including senior leaders. And it was very clear that it was simply because they didn't like the new leader. The way the person led, the way the person did things, it was totally different. And the person just basically aggressively implemented his or her way of working without considering the other people within the organization. See, the sad thing is this. The leader thinks that, oh, no, I'm the new guy in control, so I call the shots, and if you don't listen to me, you don't like my style of leadership, just get out of this place. But when I was there, I realized when these key people begin to leave, it made the organization, what happened was that we found that there was a great vacuum of leadership, and it was chaotic, the environment was bad, and people were backbiting, people were complaining, everybody was looking for a new job, and in those months that I was there, it was really unpleasant to be working in that environment, because it was tough. It was tough.
All right. And sometimes people still say when it's soft, the soft side is still seen as weak. What's your view on that?
The soft side is seen as weak. Well, you know, as human beings, there is this, you know, we all like to be recognized. We all like to be liked in that sense. Soft psych is not really being weak. Soft psych is being true to ourselves. Soft psych is when we exhibit a soft side, we are actually meeting into the very basic needs of other human beings, the need to be cared for, the need to be recognized. And that's actually very powerful. You know, if you understand the Maslow hierarchy of needs, you know, there is that needs for physiological, right up to self-actualization, where we learn to care for people, where we learn to actually take care of them and be interested in them. The soft side is actually very powerful because we can have all these process tools in place, which is good. We can have the Six Sigmas, we can have the, you name it, all the tools available, which is good and powerful. But in the end of the day, it takes people who are sold out for the organization, people who are willingly cooperating with the vision of the organization to actually drive through those things. And how do that come about? That come about when people are happy at their work, basically. It's that simple. People are happy in their workplace. They like the environment, they like their bosses, they know that they're being cared for, they're being taken care of, and they will die for the company, actually.
You know, also, in my experience of working, I've had to work with people who are manipulative, who are not outright bad, who has a way of manipulating the boss, and you know, and how do you then handle that when it's not so obvious and you get tired of the emotional mind games that happens? What can you suggest?
Yeah, the thing about manipulation is this: it always works against short term. It's a matter of time before people find you out, they know that you're not genuine. And in any relationship, when we find that someone is not genuine, they're trying to manipulate us, they're trying to play the mind game, they're trying to be, you know, be psychological about it, you know, and praising us, and then we know that it's not from their heart. And given a couple of weeks or some couple of months, we know that the person is not genuine. Now what happens? Very normal, we usually then resist. We resist the person. In our hearts, we may be forced to do certain things, we'll do it, but then again, we do it unwillingly, or we just do it half-heartedly. And we find that the person is not genuine. And that's the bottom line that causes a lot of relationship conflicts within the workplace or even at home or not, when we know that people are not genuine in their approach. And so it doesn't cut for long term.
People can see through that you're not congruent, as in what you say and what you do
totally
are two different things. And people are not silly, right? And, you know, you've been in key leadership roles in MNCs like Pepsi, Unilever, and also Dale Carnegie Training. In your experience, what hinders organizations or teams from being successful?
Well, I think the two key elements that determines the organizational success is, number one, the processes within the organization. You know, what kind of process you have, what kind of systems you have in place, what kind of strategies that you have in place, and that's a key to success. And of course, the other bit is the people side. And, you know, in a lot of my training sessions and all that, this is one area that I find a lot of neglect, especially senior leaders, they neglect because of the years of experience they have and some of the successes that they taste. They feel that, you know, as long as people do their work and, you know, we get them to do whatever they want, then it's fine. But that's really a very limited way to look at leadership, because what can really bring an organization from good to great is really the people within the organization. So it's actually focusing on the people themselves, building them, getting them to be engaged, recognizing them, and that brings a lot of excitement into the workplace. And in fact, it's quite interesting, because very often when I conduct my training during the break or lunch or the end of training, some of the guys will come to me and tell me how much they've learned and stuff like that. And then I'll get this very common feedback, and they'll say things like this to me: "You know, how I wish my boss was here and to listen and to do that." Because what they're seeing is basically like what we talked about earlier, incongruency. And what they learn about, say, this is great, we need to recognize, we need to praise, we need to be genuine in our intentions, we need to work together as a team, we must not be political about how things run in organization, but yet they see their very bosses doing the very same thing. And so it's really leadership by example, and leaders really need to step out in terms of, okay, how do I really genuinely create a culture of trust, culture of teamwork, culture of genuine appreciation and recognition within the organization that will ultimately bring the organization to ultimate success.
BFM 89.9, the business station.